Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am so delighted to be sitting across the table from John Ellingson, who is a wonderful actor, artist, director, painter, puppet maker. He does it all. He's officially the Associate Artistic Director at Northwest Children's Theater.
That's what we're calling it.
And golly, we met probably, what, over 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 10 years ago.
Doing Floyd Collins with
Stumptown.
Stumptown, right. And that was just one of the most joyful experiences in so many ways because the show's incredible.
That was really fun.
I mean, and it didn't occur to me. It's just funny when you work with someone in one capacity, you know, what an incredible artist you are in so many other areas. Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about. Of course, Northwest Children's Theater, the first thing. And you had just told me a little bit about a grant that you received or a fellowship. That enabled you to do some personal work.
Actually
going to lead to a new piece at Northwest Children's Theater.
Yes, it did. It was very fun. It was focusing on puppetry and got to go to the UK and go to different festivals, work with different companies, build puppets, and about 4 weeks of traveling all through. I got to go to London, but most of it was in Northern England and studying puppetry in the UK.
Okay, now, was that just something you thought, I'm interested in puppets, or has this been a lifelong or a longer type journey?
It's a really good question. I've been obsessed with puppets since I was a kid. Like I think one of my many, I remember seeing a lot of live puppets. In Portland when I was a kid, my grandma used to take me to the Oregon Symphony, and a couple years they did Peter and the Wolf, and then they did some piece with puppetry in front of it. So the orchestra played, it was a famous musical piece, I don't remember which one it was, and they had, you know, puppeteers in black and these big puppets performing in front. So I would go home and I got the album to that, and I wish I remember what it was, but I would take my dolls, like my stuffed animals and things, and try to reenact that. So I've always, of course, the Muppets, and I've always loved puppets. And so the Children's Theater, we're just one of our new, I've been dabbling with puppetry every now and then, and Children's Theater puppets come up a lot. So I've always loved it, and then over the last couple of years, we've been throwing puppets in more and more. So last season, Sarah decided, let's do a full puppet show. And then the Fulton Fellowship came up, and so I was like, why don't we write it for you to go study puppetry? Because I'm very self-trained. So we put together, there's a huge festival that happens twice every 2 years. And it was about 60 shows, everything from theater venues to kids to adults, focused theater. So I saw about 45 shows in 4 days there. And then found a marionette class in the London School of Puppetry. And it was a week long, 14 hours a day, hand carving marionette, which they say is that one of the original puppet forms is marionettes. So all the jointing, and then once it happened, I just found these other puppet companies around the UK and put a trip together. And
well, that's very interesting because I know puppetry, of course, is like a multicultural art form.
Yes.
And there are so many versions of puppets. I mean,
yes,
there's, you know, Julie Taymor and the Lion
and
King.
Yes,
and
there's a history. And I would say, I mean, I think Jim Henson is our Americana version of puppetry. Like what he did with Sesame Street and film is, I think, in the world of puppetry, that's a huge, it's a whole chapter.
Right.
But puppets, every culture has forms of storytelling.
Shadow puppetry.
It's very cultural. And now I think theatrical puppets, which is, I think, what we're bringing to Portland. I think it's where Judy Taymor falls in. These, you know, either being inspired by puppetry from different culture, or just that puppets are, one of the things I heard, my two favorite things about puppetry is taking anything inanimate and making it animated. And that's basically what puppetry is.
Oh, and it's so magical when something inanimate
comes to life. Whether that is for a cultural reason or a storytelling reason, or just because it's blows your mind a little bit.
And it's so much fun too, because even when there's a puppeteer who is operating this item, however that is, whether their hand is inside of it
or
if they're walking beside it or that you can see them.
Yeah.
I saw a piece, I think it was with Friends of Chamber Music, and it was a classical pianist and puppetry at PSU, and it blew my socks off. I mean, you really lose yourself in
these creatures. You do, and that's the
magic.
That's the magic of puppetry. It's just going, wow, this piece of paper is doing something, and I can't get my eyes off it. And that's magic. And
they're so poignant.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's something about them that is so emotional.
I think one thing is they can do something that human beings can't. I think there's rules that they can bust. Like, I think when a person tries to do something, that's one awesome medium. But puppetry, I think you can tackle things that maybe humans can't. And it's just, you know, it's It's just theatrical. It's one of those things I think exists live. Puppetry exists. It's just a really fun thing to watch, to be a part of, to make.
Right.
Working with kids too, I think anything can be a puppet, and that's what I think what we're kind of focusing on. And I think
that's wonderful.
It kind of, for a kid, I think it really sparks your imagination. At least it did for me. I was like, oh, I can take a loose doll and move its arms and twist its head and try to make it come to life.
And it's so great too, I think, because it just puts it right out there that things are not what they seem.
Yes, yes.
I love that idea.
Yes.
Helping kids kind of bridge that.
Absolutely. And anything that just makes you go, huh, like mm-hmm. anything that makes, can I do that? Anything that, or I want to do that. And
mm-hmm.
I think it was really fun to, I think one of the most fun is about going to, getting this fellowship was getting to just kind of be a student again.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw some pieces that just, you know, I'm so lucky to work all the time, but to be like, we have a puppet show coming up, but this was really, I have no goal. It's just an intake and to see. And to me, that means being a kid again, just walking around and watching and watching and watching and very moving things, very comical things. My brain was just like stuffed.
Oh, I bet.
Sketch pad and my brain stuffed.
So now you come back
yeah.
to Portland mm-hmm. and you meet with everyone, or you're fired up, obviously, about puppetry.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh. And so now you're working on a new piece.
I am working on a new piece. So it's a new musical. It'll be in the spring. It's called Sleeping Beauty with Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And the real goal, the real concept is, so the children's theater in general, one of the cool things with kids is there's kind of two things that are happening when we pick a season. We create theater for children. That's Sarah and I's main goals. That when we make choices, whether it's Mary Poppins or one of our new works, we're trying to craft that experience for the kids. And what do we want that child to go through? What do we want that child to think about? Interesting about children's theater is you market to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
The parent has to get the kid there. The parent has to buy the ticket to get the kid there. So we're creating theater for children, but we also have to appeal to the parent. So that's kind of that's not a bad thing. It's just the challenge of it.
Mm-hmm.
So titles and every children's theater, and even on my trip in London, puppet companies are saying the same thing. The title is so restricting.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't have a hot title or a known title, no one will come.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's harder. I should say it's harder for them to come.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, I love taking stories, which right now we're doing Cat in the Hat. There's nothing I love more than taking these existing classics.
And John's playing the cat.
Playing Cat in the Hat.
Just a little sidebar.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget where we are, but playing the cat just sounds like absolutely the most fun thing ever, because kids, don't they go nuts when you do bad things?
I
love that idea.
It is. There are a few roles. I have a good list of my favorite roles, but inhabiting the Cat in the Hat is like a gift.
Like Captain Hook, probably.
Yes, Captain Hook was one. I think Mary Poppins was a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the show is only about, I would say, about 40 minutes long, and I'm in the lobby with the kids for almost an hour meeting them all. And I think her show's very good.
Right.
But also, you're getting to play someone that they read every night. I mean, Dr. Seuss was just he created this amazing character that's the Cat in the Hat.
Right.
And this play is literally just the first book. It's not, there's no concept to it. It is, you feel like you're inside that book.
Oh.
Which is really, really, really fun. So,
what are some of the funny things kids have said to you?
We have about 98 props in the show that all get thrown on the floor and crash. So we make a hole. He comes to the room, he makes a mess, and he cleans it up. So I think that is surprising to actually see. I mean, every piece that's in that book, a lot of the moments in the show are making those pictures come to life.
Oh.
So I think the amount of things that we throw around, I think when Thing One, Thing Two come out, I mean, I think that's every kid's dream.
Oh, yeah.
And the show is, it's not a circusy show, but it's got a lot of mime in it. It's got a lot of, Rodi Ortega composed, it's all underscored, it's got all these sound effects. It's just the book coming to life as big as we could do it. And at the end, the only thing we've added is I do a story reading of Green Eggs and Ham at the end with the audience, kind of an interactive reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really fun. Like, I've had more parents be like, well, now we can never read that story again. And I think it's like, you know, it's such a good book to read aloud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, and parents love it. It's nostalgic for the parents. So it's a real, you see everyone, kids and their families, just holding each other and giggling.
Aww.
And that's a really... that's a really fun thing to be a part of.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so two more weekends. We have this weekend and next weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, 10 and 1.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We still have tickets. So.
All right, so now back to the puppet show, we were talking about titles.
Yeah, so Sarah's like, what if, and then we've been playing with puppetry, and she's like, what if we created And this is a little, it's not a little, it's kind of Muppet inspired. But what if we created these celebrities, these puppet celebrities, and if people really enjoyed seeing them, we could stray from the title. Like if they want to come see them, then the title might not have as much weight. Mm-hmm. So we created this troop of birds, and for some reason they became birds. One, because I think that's just a fun animal to puppet, to turn into a puppet, mm-hmm. Theatrically. So we have a little group called the Starlings, and it's kind of like 30 Rock meets any theater trope. So you've got, you know, you've got Waiting for Guffman, like this troop of very interesting characters. Mm-hmm. And we're still developing. We got with Reese Washburn and his lovely wife and our new composers. Mm-hmm. So this is the birds coming, and their kind of catchphrase is a bird's eye view. So these birds have come, and so they're going to tell a new, slightly updated, maybe asking some questions about Sleeping Beauty and why it is what it is. But they'll tell a traditional musical, and then if it goes well, we hope to do another puppet show next year. And then some of, you know, we're thinking of either something about a biography about a famous person, or we have tons of dreams of things that I think would be theatrically really fun for our kids, stories or content. Mm-hmm. But I think what's cool is we're playing with the emotions that it takes to put on a play. So I think the bird I'm playing is right now, he's called Little One, and he's just really shy. Mm. And he might have a song about, he doesn't think he can go out there and do it, and do the role that he has to play. And so it's just, you know, we're just playing, it's a little bit behind the scenes of what it takes to put a show on, mm-hmm. and the storytelling of Sleeping Beauty. So it's Sleeping Beauty, it'll be a great fairy tale. You will see Sleeping Beauty, but also get introduced to these birds and the ideas that they've taken over the whole building. Like we may even fill the ground with feathers.
Oh.
That they are in the seats, they're in the lobby. The minute you get in the building, they've taken over the theater to tell their story.
Oh.
So this would be, birds will be in your lap, birds will be in the booth, they've built the set. So it should be this very crazy, we hope, crazy, crazy puppet show.
Oh, it sounds so fantastic.
I hope so. I
love the idea of these birds wanting, so excited about telling their story.
Yes.
Because that's such a big piece, I think, culturally right now.
Yes.
With being receptive to people telling their story.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I love that.
And being empowered to just know you can. Like,
right.
Just go tell your story.
And you can spread your feathers.
Any way you want. Spread your feathers. I really want to get as gross as those little poop stickers for the adults. We can just slap on them. But I don't know. We've got tons of ideas. I'm not sure they'll all happen. But
right. Well,
you know,
that's what you do.
That's what birds do.
Right.
Do that.
So as you're developing this, how's your process going, and where...
So
you've been working with Reese and Mariana.
We're working with them,
mm-hmm.
and then Sarah and I are tackling the script right now,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a cast put together. And what's been fun about this is the compositions happen first. So
mm-hmm.
we did a basic outline of what we want the show to be, and the music's coming in first, even before this. Like we kind of beat it out, but it's really fun. They've created some fun directions just in creating the music. And a lot of time in our new works, we start with the script and then put the music in.
Right.
Or it happened at the same time. So it's been really fun. They've been coming up with some great things. And so artistically, we've never worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're new collaborators with us, and that's always a gift. And they're
fantastic.
They are incredible. Like their lyrics and
aren't their lyrics great?
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows how fantastic they are, but they've really, we're just giggling and tickled with what they're coming up with. And we did a video shoot with some of the mock-up puppets recently with them, and I have a bird on top of his head while he's playing the piano trying to teach song. Like, we're just having a crazy time.
Oh.
So we'll be workshopping for the next 2 months with the actors and the
mm-hmm.
music. So we're just having a fun time.
And so how do you get funding for something like that? I mean, how do you start a whole new works program?
It's not new. This is kind of the end of our fairy tale canon. We've been producing work for I think the last 6-7 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Rodi Ortega and Milo Maury have been kind of our main team. We've written with a few other people as well. But Sarah started a few years after she became artistic director, and this was before I was the associate, because I was performing
mm-hmm.
Almost every show in the season. She was, you know, the fairy tales needed an update. She was very not happy with the options, especially for females
mm-hmm.
in the storytelling canon. So also new work is, I think, our favorite part. It's really fun to take Cat in the Hat, and those are so important to do.
Mm-hmm.
But new work is exciting. It's just, as an artist, it's really exciting.
Right.
So started doing all the fairy tales. We did like an anime version of Snow White,
mm-hmm.
which we did last year. And so we've gone through all of them, and then... this is kind of the last one, and I think as the puppet show is happening, I think we've kind of retold this story, fairy tales for us, now we want to go into content. Like, I think what we've learned is kids will go anywhere with you.
Mm.
Girls would show up in their Disney Snow White dress,
mm.
but then watch this girl power staff fighting power piece, and no problem. Kids
right.
have no, they are so amazed every day with how they so honestly go with you. They're the most honest people to perform for.
It must be so wonderful too, because obviously you have a really deep relationship artistically and personally with everyone at Northwest Children's
Theater. I do.
And it's not an official company, but it feels like a company.
It does feel like, yeah, Sarah and I are both very company based.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally, I think now that we've got our feet grounded a bit more, the company's been growing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're like, great, let's bring more people in. But the last couple of years, we've really had such a great core of artists
mm-hmm.
that we continue to work with, and it's fun. I there's a security that comes with that I have to say, you know, this insecurities come from what can we do with the story?
Right.
You know, so that's one of the benefits of having kind of a little bit more of a constant team
mm-hmm.
is you don't have to worry about where am I getting the team, where am I finding. So how do we get funding? Sarah, we've built that into our season to at least do
mm-hmm.
one or two a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few grants. We actually applied for a Jim Henson grant from the Jim Henson Company for this show particularly.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know if we'll get it, but you had to pre-apply. And
mm-hmm.
they were like, oh, you can do the next phase. I'm like, well, at least they don't think we're terrible.
Oh,
so that was a huge, like, whew.
Oh, that's
at least
great.
That was kind of like, that was a win for me. Just they were like, oh, that sounds interesting what you're doing.
Right.
So we do little funding here and there, but we are in our mission is to at least create something new each year.
That's a wonderful mission, and I know it's challenging.
It is.
It's incredibly work intensive to do something new.
It's so fun. It is hard, but it's so worth it.
It's the right thing.
And that, you know, we do Cat in the Hat, which we know will sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sarah's very good at what we pick a season, our holiday shows with Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have fun with it. Like, there's certain shows that just make me giddy. Like,
right.
I love the Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to do some, we're going to put our spin on it. But, you know, if hopefully everyone comes and loves that, then we get to do something a little bit different. And
take
so
them
we,
on. They trust you.
Yeah, we're building trust, and there's room for all of it. There's room for classics,
mm-hmm.
and then there's room for a little bit of adventure, a little bit of new things.
You know, that's an interesting thing, too. How long have you been involved with Northwest Children's Theater?
Sarah and I have been working together for 8 years there.
Uh-huh.
And then
there are kids probably that were five when you first
yeah.
met them, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
Now they're teenagers.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen, well, this leads naturally into the question about the classes that you offer.
Yeah.
And you see these young people growing up in your theater.
We do. I think I've got some students or kids I work with, I think the oldest there are either in college or about to graduate.
Mm.
Leah Zawada, I think, who I did a lot of shows with, I think she's a junior now.
Mm.
Someone got married. That was trippy.
Oh,
someone
gosh.
Got married. But the first we went to a bar and they're like, I can go. I'm like, no, you can't. They're like, well, I'm 22. And I was like, oh, I'm older than I feel like I'm five. So
that's how age is, though.
It is.
Age
and
is
I,
just weird.
I'll be five inside forever. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's really what I like about our education program. Is we have kids that are shy
mm-hmm.
or, you know, their parents are like, our kid needs to be in a group and they need that bug that's theater or just to do something artistic and inspiring. Or you get the kid that like, my kid she sings every night, she's a star. And so I think our camps and our classes, you know, it's a great, there's all the types. It
right.
can be just camp. And then we've got programs for those kids that are like, no, this is, we have kids that live there.
That's
and
what
like,
I want to do.
Yeah. And I think in today's world too, I think the arts and public schools aren't great. And, you know, we try to create a safe place we don't need to know the details. I don't need to know what the personal life is, but I want them to know that they're safe,
mm-hmm.
that everyone can be here and that everyone is respected there. And what the goal is to make something. And that is a play for kids.
Right.
And that is the work. My biggest goal with the kids is I hope that they learn to work. I'm like, if you can fall in love with working,
mm-hmm.
if you can fall in love with putting the bar a little bit too high
mm-hmm.
and the stress to get there, good stress to get there is worth it, you will keep working.
Right.
And
that pays off in any
way any area.
They go to into life, they'll have that in their back pocket.
And seeing, you know, we've got a few kids in college now, some are pursuing theater beautifully, and then
mm-hmm.
some have gone into political science, and some have gone into changing, like, it's just so fun to see.
I bet.
What where their adventure is going to go, and that's really fun.
Yeah, it really sounds like it.
Yeah.
So now your theater is located in Northwest.
Yep, we are
18th and Everett.
Between 18th and 19th and Everett.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Church of Christian Science,
mm-hmm.
and I think we're 106 years old, the building.
Wow.
And then next year is our 25th anniversary season. So Northwest Shelter will have been around for 25 years next year.
Are you... think you must be planning your season.
Oh, yeah. We're planning... Yeah, we announced the season at our auction in... We should know this. I think it's the first weekend of March.
Uh-huh.
It went live. So,
of 2017.
But our next season is going to be something
bang
special.
Up.
Yeah, we'll be doing some special things.
So now you're also one of the united faces of Artslandia.
I am.
That's right. So you've got to tell me, where was your place?
My place was the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I think there's quite a few people that love the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I originally said Hawthorne Bridge, but I think someone had gotten it.
Oh.
But I like to run. In my spare time, I like to run. Uh-huh. So the waterfront is just one of my... I've always enjoyed. I like water.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Portland. I think Portland's just really pretty. And I think the waterfront is always just pretty. And I love Tillicum Bridge because there's no cars on it.
Isn't it great?
And it's but someone else, like actually a good friend of mine, is on. She got her picture on the bridge. But so mine was running around.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I just like.
The fun thing about, you know, the waterfront. Needless to say, I run too, and so during various times of the year, how different it looks.
Yes.
And my favorite time is when the cherry blossoms, and on that, you know, west side.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, every year I wait for that.
That, and I like the fall. I like when it gets foggy, when you can't, there's been a couple runs where I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I'm in a little cloud.
Yeah.
Portland, we're right now, like we might have a storm tonight. Apparently.
That's
like,
what they keep
saying.
They're
telling us, but I do like the fall, but I like our seasons.
I do too.
It's fun, and I think the waterfront is this great little window box
too.
It's
beautiful,
yeah.
And the bridges, I mean,
I love our bridges.
This is a great town.
It's a really good town.
Yeah, we're lucky to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to be here. I love it here.
You're going
to
keep working here.
I'm going to keep working. Yeah, I have no... I went to a coffee shop the other day, and it was the guy that works there, I just know because we're at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I know that all the time. But he's like, I thought you moved to San Francisco. And I was like, no, I didn't move to San Francisco. And he's like, I heard you moved to San Francisco.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, no, not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
It panicked me, though. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Wow, it's going to be so much fun to see the puppet work.
I am excited and scared.
Someone wrote that once.
Yes, they did. Do you know my biggest regret this summer?
Huh.
I got to go on this fellowship, and I kid you not, one of my first alarming thoughts was I missed you in Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
I am dead serious. I followed, like, when you posted a picture of, it was a set that Angela Lansbury was on, right?
Yes. That was crazy.
Was that, I'm very sad that I missed that.
It was so much fun to be on that. On that piece of wood, you know,
right?
it's historical. It was really great.
Yeah, I heard you were amazing.
Thank you.
Really, I missed it.
Oh, well, golly, I guess that's not really a good piece of children's theater, but.
You know, we have joked about our 25th season doing like, and we're not doing this,
mm-hmm.
But doing like, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross for kids or Sweeney Todd Jr.
But
no, we won't be doing, we joke about that.
What would Sweeney Todd Jr. be then? Okay, golly, I don't know.
I think it would have to be. It would have to be animals.
Not a razor.
No, it would have to be like.
Maybe it would be an elephant swinging his trunk.
Oh, that would do.
Just clocking people.
That would do, or like we'd have to find the animal equivalent, like the demon ducks of the river or something. I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they would do. Maybe Thanksgiving. Maybe they worked in a poultry shop. I have no idea.
God, you're good.
Yeah, well, we won't be writing that one, but that would be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be great fun.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me here.
It's
really
a pleasure. You are always wonderful to talk to, and it's so much fun to think about seeing the work that you're making and how enthused you are and how excited you are to make the work is infectious.
Thank you. I'm very lucky. Kids are great. They keep you young.
All right, well.
I hope to see you soon. All right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.